And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The art of leveraging money is one that the Juno Community Foundation has honed with its Hope Endowment Fund, a partnership between the city and borough of Juno. And together, they raised almost $2 million to distribute to nonprofits in Juno and move that money into programs that help those who are struggling with some of the biggest challenges in our community that, in some cases, have robbed their lives of stability or threatened their ability to live stable lives. And joining us now, we have Amy Skillbred. She's Executive Director of the Juno Community Foundation. So, Amy, welcome to our program. And it'll be interesting to learn about something that has done so much good, injected almost $2 million into our community social service system. And maybe we should just start off with maybe a few stories, like some examples of how this money has been put to work.
Sure. There's a lot of examples. Some of the most touching ones just right away that come to mind are the ones that are around food and housing needs. And these funds, it's about $14 million over the past 7 years. And they've succeeded in providing housing for some of the hardest to house people in our community. Longer-term homeless people who've been homeless for 9 years or more now are finding homes at Housing First. And then we've just recently had more reentry programs where it's providing housing from Central Council for people reentering the community after being in prison. And they also struggle to find housing, which is a really difficult thing. Then we have a very new youth shelter in town, about a year old at this point. It's great to have the youth shelter back, and they've been open for about 6 months. And I think they've had about 196 nights with kids staying there and have really been successful in moving young people from the youth shelter into permanent housing. And those would be young people who are over 18, of course. And so it's really been a wonderful to see that happen. And then some of the most touching stories are young kids who, when asked by their schools, what's one of the most important things about being at school? And their answers are, it's because we get food. And so that's been a real driver for us to help with the Universal Elementary School Breakfast Program that enables all kids to get breakfast. And then more recently, supporting the backpack weekend food bags that kids bring home. And, you know, it's grown from when since we first started several years ago with this, having about 300 or 400 kids to there's 700 to 850 kids a week that are getting a food bag and taking it home so that they have food over the weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of people in our community who need a hand. And that's what we're able to do by providing these funds with our partner agencies, basically all the nonprofits in the community that provide social services and actually do the really hard work of providing the services that are needed. And so those are some of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, as you provided grants to about 24 organizations, and they vary in amounts, but do you think that this money is sort of more intentionally given with sort of a priority list, and if so, what is that?
Yeah, there's very much a priority. The priorities are developed every year by the organizations themselves. So we get all the organizations that work with people and families that are homeless and get them together, or now we go to their meetings actually. And they talk about what's needed and how best to serve their clients. Some of the things that have come out of that include some of our more expensive programs right now, the Navigator program that's run out of Bartlett Regional Hospital, which helps with outreach to people who are homeless and outreach with organizations that have clients who really need assistance. They need somebody to pick them up and take them to a doctor's appointment or take them to find their birth certificate, get the picture so that they can get SSI, SSDI. That was one program that came out of that. And another one is the substance use disorder, a residential program at Gastineau Human Services, and that has also morphed into assisting their outpatient program and assisting with some sober living housing. So it's really been key to get together the organizations who do the work, because they're the ones who really know what's needed in our community and have made things like Housing First happen.
So do you think that this collaboration, even though they're kind of competing for money, but they're working together, do you think that this collaboration has helped in some ways sort of strengthen programs across the board?
Definitely.
How so?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we see a lot of organizations talking with each other and figuring out how to use the limited resources that there are in our town. And, you know, we have a fair amount of resources, but everything's finite. And so I think that's really been important in, you know, figuring out how to get things like Housing First accomplished, meaning building that building. And it really took all of the organizations together saying, okay, we know we need funds as an organization, but our priority for our clients is that we get this built and then we get phase two built in order to be able to have 64 more rooms to house people in. Because that's one of the main things people are struggling with in Juneau is just finding housing. There are people with vouchers that would pay their rent and things, but rents have increased and housing is really limited. So,
and it's
rental housing in particular.
And it's even getting more limited, it sounds like, with competition from people that want to turn their rentals into Airbnbs. And so it's tough out there to find something in the right price range if you don't have a lot of resources. So can you explain, Amy, how the Hope Endowment Fund is set up? I mean, what goes into it and how does it work? And maybe what's the story behind that?
Sure. The story of the Juneau Hope Endowment is that we got a large donation, very large, several years ago, and have a $20 million endowment. It's really the story about the power of endowments. An endowment is exactly like the Alaska Permanent Fund. That's an endowment. And every year, we all get something from that fund. So the Juneau Hope Endowment is an endowment that has a payout every year, and that's what we use to provide about $1.1 million dollars from the Juneau Community Foundation into this pot. Otherwise, it would be going out and trying to raise that amount every year, which would be extremely difficult. As all these organizations themselves are also trying to raise money from the community in order to provide the services that they provide. So this, you know, we got this large endowment and it's been growing. And so the power of endowments is we've been able to give out about $8 million from this particular endowment since 2015. And at the same time, the size of the endowment has grown because the markets have been good. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, that is the problem with endowments like the Permanent Fund. They're very dependent on what's going on elsewhere in the economy and the stock market. But has there been a certain amount of predictability for nonprofits? Because, you know, the life of a nonprofit is often a roller coaster kind of thing.
Very much so. And I think one of the ways that the amount that we can give out is fairly predictable is that we average it over 5 years. We take how much is in the fund and every year of over 5 years and average it. And that provides us with a pretty, you know, stable amount when you average over that long. You get the ups and the downs of the market and sort of smooth them out a little bit. And for the most part, there are several organizations that received grants and they were getting the same amount for the past 3 years. And we try and do that. I think we've learned that it's better to move to a 3-year cycle so that organizations that need to hire somebody know that they have money coming for that position for at least 3 years. And that way they can, you know, hopefully attract someone and hire someone, because that is the other problem that is not just Juno, not just social service organizations, but all over, is hiring, you know, finding new employees, people who are qualified.
It seems like a lot of nonprofits wind up saving money if they're in a crunch by eliminating positions. And it's hard to find people that have the right skill sets you might need for a particular program. So I'm sure that having some stability there in the funding stream helps. But I'm just curious about your fund itself. You got that endowment, and so you grow that, and you provide some of that in grant payments. And how does your partnership with CBJ work?
We have an agreement with CBJ, and we entered into that in 2015 after the first round of the HOPE funds were given out. And CBJ came to us and said, hey, can we give you our funds and you run that program together? So that it provides some great benefits for CBJ. You don't have to have someone to manage it, but it also provides a lot of benefits for the organizations themselves, the nonprofits, because they're only applying to one pot of money. So it's one grant and not two grants. And every time you write a grant and administer a grant, it takes time. So we have been working with CBJ and getting about $800,000 into the pot every year, plus about $47,000 that go in utility waivers that are just done through CBJ.
So it's like
for organizations.
So it's like the Glory Hall gets a waiver on utilities for what they're doing. So it seems like this is a mechanism, and I hate to use this cliche phrase, more bang for your buck, but it does seem to stretch the dollars that people get.
It does, and it reduces the administrative costs for running a grant program or running two grant programs. So it enables us to put a little bit more money out there as well.
So the challenge, though, is that the needs are always growing. It seems like when it comes to social services, you know, we can never raise enough money to solve the problems because they're big. I mean, it's better than doing nothing, but it always seems like it's never quite just enough to get over the hump. And are you finding that, though, that you're giving out close to $2 million to 24 organizations? Are you finding that you're not meeting their needs?
Yeah, we've definitely found that just this year in looking at and asking organizations what is needed, it's probably about $1.7 to $2 million more dollars. And we've, you know, with our agreement with CBJ, we've let them know that this is the amount that folks have said are needed. We've requested an additional $750,000 for this. And they'll have to figure out the assembly whether they can do that or how much they can do, given all the requests they have in front of them. But one of the things that's really sort of important to point out is there are programs and there are organizations as well that are working to try and what we call like turn off the spigot, try and reduce the amount of people who have needs that that these organizations have to provide services for. By working on better, kindergarten readiness and working with young children and young families on making sure that kids are read to and things that have been proven to be successful. And I think that AEYC, the Association for the Education of Young Children, is working in that area. And then also the Alaska Association of School Board Administrators has been working for several years on grants to help identify what are the ways that at a young age we can predict better success and ensure better success for all kids. So.
Well, it sounds like when you can get to a child early, that you may prevent all kinds of other problems that tax the social service system. Are you seeing some of that happen as you move into this HOPE Foundation process?
No, I thought that when we first saw those funds that, this is great. We'll be able to spend a lot more funds on the before rather than the after or the effects of. But when we received these funds, the amount of funding that was needed for programs to help people now was significant enough that that has taken a large portion of our funds. We do provide for child advocates in the school district who are working with kids to, now that they've done some trauma-informed training for teachers and others and working with kids, they find that more kids are coming forward and talking with them and need someone to talk to help them out and help their families out. And so we're doing a lot more funding in that area, and funding for food is always, you know, if you're hungry or homeless, it's doesn't matter what other services are out there. You really need to address those things first.
Well, it seems like having a process and just kind of improving it gradually rather than kind of the chaos that you sometimes have when you're getting state budget cuts or all other kinds of things that happen, that stability is priceless, I would imagine. And, you know, I wonder, is there a possibility that the Juno Community Foundation might be able to lure another big grant to pump some more money into the fund?
From your mouth to our listeners' ears.
You know? I'm just
that
asking.
Would be great.
I'm just asking.
It would be wonderful. And, you know, we definitely have board members and others who are working in our community to help raise funds and really increase the pie for all nonprofits. So increase the giving for K-2, for arts, for culture, for parks, trails, and recreation, and really try and expand what we have available to give in our community for things that people are passionate about. And some are passionate about animals, and some are passionate about arts, about radio, about, you know, homelessness and food for kids. So you really have to, you know, work with people for what they really want to give to, what really moves them.
But it sounds like having a big foundation, a big endowment, really can kind of move things to the next level. So before we go, Amy, any final thoughts for us that you want to share?
Yeah, if people are interested in providing any level of funding for the work that's done by the Juno Community Foundation, to contact me. I'm still using my cell phone. I've gotten so used to it. So it's at 907-321-8884, or email us at amy@junocffor communityfoundation.org. So.
All right.
Or you can visit our website as well. Sorry.
Yeah, I keep stepping on you. I apologize for that. I guess it's kind of the nature of Zoom. You know, there's a little bit of a lag there. So apologies for that. Well, Amy, thank you for taking time out to explain how this Hope Endowment Fund is set up and why it brings a lot of hope to the community and with its partnerships has extended the reach of this fund. Amy Skillbred, Executive Director of the Juno Community Foundation. Thanks so much, Amy.